Next item is public comments. This is the opportunity for those that are not on the agenda to speak to the commission on matters of their concern. Anyone here like to speak to the commission? Yes, sir. Mr. Taylor. Good to see you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Name is Dale Taylor. I'm here concerned about the recreational fishing. I would like to the staff of VMRC to recognize that the recreational fishing license is cost me $39 for five pots. In June, last of June, and July, and middle part of August, I catch about anywhere from 8 to 14 crabs in the pot, all my pots. I fish about 3 days to get a good mess out of those pots. I would like to ask the staff if they would recommend, or the commission would recommend, not to go haywire or anything like that, but if they would move it up to 8 pots instead of 5. I have to pay $39 for my license, and I only get, in those months, there's hardly anything going on. Those months, sometimes I'm doing something else. But anyway, I would ask the commission or the staff to look into that and see if they can come up with anything to help me. I'm here today. But another thing I would like to bring up to the commission, in Middlesex County, we have two huge campgrounds, and there are some smaller campgrounds, which those campgrounds are where you have about 3,000 people on those campgrounds, so that's including about 6,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
On the Rappahannock, on Middlesex County, we have about 11,000 people in Middlesex County. A third of those people own docks. A lot of people don't use a dock, goes to somebody else's dock, but they put crab pots on these docks. They put pots up to, I have counted up to high 7 to 8 crab pots on a dock with no license, no recognition license. And that's happening all over Middlesex County. I'm not going into other counties. Pretty sure it happens in those counties too. I ran the cities. I know it happens off these piers in Newport News and Hampton and Norfolk and all of those places. Just think how many crabs. You're talking about having something today, and I think on here and on crabs today in 17 and 18, but trying to figure out something about how we save the crab business and how we're going to save the crabs. Gentlemen, just think how many crabs you would save if you had a way of controlling these crab pots on these docks, on the campgrounds. People put out 2-3 pots, maybe on Saturday and Sunday. That's 2 days. The docks fish every day. The people here in the summertime down every day. Thousands and thousands of little crabs about that size are being caught every day in the summer. And we are here going to make a regulation on how we're going to save the crabs. We're going to pick on the crabbers again, the commercial crabbers. And gentlemen, the commercial crabbers in the last 2 or 3 years hasn't caught what the recreational fishing. I doubt that by the license they have, but by private people who have piers who put the pots out. And I'm trying to be honest as I can be today about trying to help to save the crabs and not to hurt the commercial crabber as much, but see if we can't do something about these thousands and thousands of pots in Virginia waters that are taking these crabs from 2 inches on up. And they take them home, and they cook them, and the people cook them, the parents, the fathers, everybody's cooking these crabs and picking them up for crab meat, make crab cakes, just enjoying it. And the commercial crabbers, they're having to go by the law of 5.5 inches, 5 inches, 5.5 inches law, and put up with the packers trying to say, hey, you got to have them 5.5 inches before we take them. pretty soon they'll be up to 6 inches and their people will be out of business. Because they catch about a half a bushel to a bushel of big crabs, 6 inches, 5.5 inches, not many. But I'm asking today that this recreational, I guess asking for 3 pots more. They are licensed $39. It was $29, I think it's $39 now. But anyway, I'm paying for a license that is commercial license. I'm paying that same price. They pay for 100 pots, 150 pots. And I don't catch those crabs in the summertime out of those pots because there's pillar crabs are running and pod crabs won't pot in that time. So if I don't want to be a smarty or I don't want to be somebody who comes, but I'm asking the commission members today, if we're going to put a regulation on these crabs and put more moratoriums on crabs and more things on crabbers and the commercial crabbers, then I'm going to ask that they make a law that tries to put the Commission of Marine Resources in a situation where they'll have to check every dock in Virginia to check these crabs and make sure they're legal, to make sure these people haven't got over the limit, which they're supposed to have, 1 pot or 2 pots to a person, and see if I can't get that passed through legislation or something that the commercial crabbers don't have to suffer for what other people are doing and catching more crabs than they are, and they are being hurt, and not the person that he owns a dock and putting the pots overboard, and not hurting me as a licensed recreational fisherman to get some mess to eat, and I have to pay for it. I think it's wrong, and I think these things ought to be taken care of by the commission, and I think they ought to have enough law enforcement to do that, and I know it's hard for the money situation coming down for hiring law enforcement, but I asked the commission and asked the staff to look into that and see if they can do something about it. Gentlemen, I thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor, for your time. Appreciate it. Who's next? Yes, sir. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Roger Parks. I'm from Lancaster County.
Yes, sir, Roger.
I'm here to try to save my pillar trap stand. And I've had that place for 42 years. No development whatsoever. And all of a sudden, I'm going to lose it. Only kind of a man put a dock there. And, and I'm 30 feet, 35 feet from the dock. I don't see no reason. I'm not in his way, and he's not in my way. And I talked to the guy up to Heathsville, and they said he couldn't issue me a license. And I got it to the low water mark because I got one of your law enforcers go up there and check it. And I thought, being to the low water mark, the state of Virginia owned it. And I just don't want to lose it.
Sure. Mr. Justin, are you familiar with this specific?
No. No.
Mr. Grab, did you want to, or Randy, I'm sorry. Randy, staff's prepared. Yes, sir. Yes, please.
In February of 07, we had a Mr. Parks, one of his traps is right here. This is Hussey's Creek, which is a tributary to Farnham Creek, which drains into the Rappahannock. We're in Richmond County, just up from the Lancaster line. This is an aerial. This is the point where the trap was located and licensed in 2007. In February of 2007, we received an application for a pier that qualified for the statutory exemption off that point by the repairing property owner. At the time, the property owner, William Walker III, he pulled up Mr. Parks' trap and rolled it up and put it on the shoreline. Well, that was rectified pretty quickly. The Marine Police went out and told Mr. Walker he couldn't do that. It was a licensed gear. And he reset the trap, and he can tell you what time period passed while it was out of the water. But we actually came to call for advice on the which could remain, because the trap was in the same alignment as the proposed pier. Well, the regulation states that the trap must yield to riparian rights. So what we did was we advised the property owner that it would be nice if he could, you know, let the trap fish through 2007, but that, you know, Jack indicated that at the end of when it came up for relicense in 2008, that, you know, they couldn't coexist in the same alignment. The pier was built. This is the pier. There's the trap. And you can see that the head of the trap's about 13 feet off the head of the pier.
27.
I don't believe that's a 27-foot boat.
Oh, yes, I've measured it.
Okay. Well, that was taken by one of Ray Jewell's men. That's looking to the left of the pier up the cove, and that's looking to the right. And according to Ray, there are 11 other traps licensed to Mr. Parks in that same cove. That's the trap in question, but you see he has licensed traps all within the creek. Basically, Jack and Bob have concurred that in this situation that the trap needs to be 100 feet off the existing pier as built. They may want to offer more to that, but that's what we have now. The trap was, of course, pulled by regulation, you know, for the month of December, but the right now he's asking to, I guess, keep it on that alignment, and the pier is constructed under the statutory authority allowed under the code. And right now, Ray's instructions are not to relicense it to within 100 feet of the pier.
Council, can you provide any insight?
No, I need to take a look at this in more detail to get some input from the staff. Now, apparently, we've got what's recognized under Virginia law is the riparian right to build a pier to access navigable water. You've got a regulation that allows crab traps. I'm not familiar with the regulation, but
can you pull Mr. Josephson before the day is out a copy of the crab trap regulation citing or whatever and have a copy made for him?
Agency regulations cannot take precedence over state law.
That's correct. The bottom line is we're going to look into it.
Okay.
How's that? Mr. Okay. Josephson is my lawyer.
Because I'm had these I got some tags here from 1970 and 71, and I'm had that spot 42 year.
You said something to begin with, Roger, and I want to make sure that I'm clear. From the outset, you said that neither you or the man that had the pier had a problem?
No, I've never spoke to him. He's never called me. I've never even seen him.
Okay.
And I don't think I'm in his way, and he's not in my way.
I can't tell by looking at those pictures. They look to me as if
me and my son took a piece of rope and measured it from his pole to the trap stake, and we carried it home. I put a magic marker, black mark on it, and we measured it when we got home. And that's what it was, 27 feet.
We'll look into it. Nope. May get back to you today. It may be a little while, but I'll get back to you.
Okay.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Who's next? Public comments. All right. Next item on the...
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry, Mr. Robin.
I did have one item I wanted to bring up very quickly.
You don't have to wait for public comments to do that.
Well, appreciate it. The fishermen in Virginia Beach have raised an issue related to the striped bass tagging regulation, and specifically on the issue of bay versus ocean tags. And the issue that's come up is the fact that the fishermen are now prohibited from transiting into the state territorial sea and having bay tags in their possession if they transit out into the state territorial sea. And obviously we did that to deal with some non-compliant and some abuses of the existing regulation at the time. The situation that's come up now is that there are about 15 boats working out of Lynn Haven and Rudy Inlet that are trying to catch spiny dogfish in the state territorial sea. come February 1st, these boats would also like to be able to rockfish in the mouth of the Chesapeake Bay or inside Chesapeake Bay. And they want to be able to fish in the state territorial sea and then come back in and fish their rockfish net. The way the reg is written right now, it would prohibit them from having those bay tags on board the vessels in the state territorial sea. And they do make a couple of good points. One is that under the existing regulations, first of all, there's no longer an incentive to go out and target large fish, which is what was contributing to some of the abuse in the past.
Based on the poundage quota now?
That's correct, based on the poundage quota. And the other point is that a fisherman has to declare whether he's fishing in the bay or fishing in the ocean, come in and get bay or ocean tags, surrendering his bay tags to get ocean tags, et cetera. So he can't have both tags on board at the same time, which in the past contributed also to the confusion and abuse. So a couple of things have changed, in that sense. Now, the issue they raised, too, is just the fuel is so very high that if they go out and have to come back in and unload their spiny dogs before they go out to their rock nets, they've got fuel cost, time, et cetera, et cetera. And I just wonder if we could hear from Jack on that possibly.
Mr. Travelstead, you can hear from him, but I can tell you what the end is.
The issue of rising fuel costs,
honesty,
and how it affects fishermen is a growing concern. I think diesel fuel is now up near $4 a gallon. Gasoline is just about that high. And this becomes an issue of one of trying to accommodate fishermen to make their individual fishing trips worthwhile, economically worthwhile, and creating a loophole where a few fishermen can do some things we don't want them to do. And, of course, we've spent some time with the commission asking you all recently to adopt regulations to try to close some of those loopholes. The one thing that the staff is currently working on is a complete review of the weight-based fishery that we now have for striped bass compared to what we had 2 years ago with the quota of tags. We're going to provide that review or the results of that review to you at your March meeting. But we're hoping in the meantime to do a complete audit of fishermen reports, compared to buyer reports, and see if we can detect any problems there. And until that comparison is completed, I would be reluctant to support some changes in the regulation. But certainly what Mr. Robbins has said relative to the incentive to harvest big fish mm-hmm. has now changed, and I think our review will show you that. Before we went with the weight quota, there was a lot of incentive to go out in the ocean where the big fish were and catch them and put your bay tags on them. And I think that's diminished quite a bit. And I think our review will show that. But until all of that's done, I would be reluctant to proceed with anything too rapidly.
Right. Well, I think an issue is whether or not it would be a sufficient deterrent to have the regulation say that it would be unlawful to possess bay-tagged fish in the state territorial sea. I mean, I think that's because that would allow these fishermen to do what we're talking about, that is fishing legally in the state territorial sea for spiny dogfish and then move into the mouth of the bay to fish for striped bass. But that's that's something we can take up after you review the review.
Do you think 1 month will make, if we promise to put that in there and look at it for the month and bring it back? And
yeah, I think they're concerned about the February 1 opener, but having said that, it's something that's going to require some staff consideration and evaluation. So
I'll tell you what I'd like. I think we'd be better off to wait just for that month. I know fuel prices are not going down, but wait for that 1 month, get your review back, and then put even stronger sanctions if you catch them violating or whatever after they've asked for something. I mean, I want to accommodate it the best I can, but at the same time still manage the fishery in a very conservation-oriented manner.
Well, and I understand it has to be enforceable, whatever's done. Right. And there's a history here that comes into play, but they do raise valid concerns about the changes.
I think they do.
So perhaps that's something we could continue to investigate, or maybe FMAC could discuss it.
Mr. Bowden?
I think really when you look into it, you also consider that's a quota-based fishery also, spotted dogfish. I don't know how much of the quota has been caught. So you're probably looking at a very short-term problem. Last year, the quota was caught long before now. This year, you know, next year is going to be increased, and I'm sure the effort will be increased also to go along with it. So I think it would be an ideal thing for FMAC to look at, but I do believe anything we would do, if we give these people some kind of relief, it would definitely have to be based on spotted dogfish being open. Because if it wasn't right. open, there would be no need.
Right, mm-hmm. right, right. Absolutely. Okay, Jack, take a good long look at it for me, please. The next item on the agenda is amendments to Regulation 4 BAC 20-530 pertaining to American shad. Joe, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thanks.